Hey y'all, I'm Abby Mallard, and this is Health, My Friend. Happy Tuesday, my friends. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Abby Mallard, and I am the owner of Health, My Friend, and I'm a nutritionist and a yoga teacher and focus on all things wellness and health. My focuses are self-love and food freedom, specifically finding a neutral and positive body image, creating a healthy and good relationship with food and with movement and with yourself. So if you're new here, welcome. That's a little bit about me. If you're a regular, thank you so much for being here. I am so grateful to hold space and to create this free resource for y'all. So today and this month, we're going to focus on opportunities for self-love in this podcast. Opportunities for self-love. So what does that mean? It means creating moments and routines and practices for creating more and cultivating more self-love and self-acceptance. That can look like a lot of different ways, and we'll explore some of them during this podcast and then the next podcast this month. So that's a little bit of an insight into what we're going to be talking about. And I hope that you'll stick around for it. I hope that it's helpful for you. And as always, if you have questions or need help with anything, my contact info will be in the show notes per usual. I would love to hear from you. Even if you don't have questions, if you have takeaways, if you have things that are helpful, I would absolutely love to hear from you. So without further ado, let's get started. So today I want to talk with you about healthy coping skills and emotional regulation. I ran a beautiful workshop last night, and if you're interested in workshops or coaching with me, please shoot me an email after this episode. And I ran the workshop on healthy coping skills and on emotional regulation. And it was a beautiful hour and a half of grounding practices and sharing with beautiful humans and teaching and learning about healthy coping skills and how to emotionally regulate. I absolutely love working or running these workshops because, one, I get to be in beautiful community. Two, I get to learn from others with what they're sharing. And three, putting together these workshop experiences, it makes me dig a little bit deeper into topics that I'm so passionate about. And I absolutely love continuing to learn and continuing to grow and continuing to broaden my knowledge when it comes to these topics that I work on with clients and work on in my own life. And so last night we talked about emotional regulation, and I thought that it would be a beautiful topic for today's podcast as well. A little bit of a condensed version, but I want to share some of the things that we talked about last night because I think that they're very, very helpful and practical for daily life. So first of all, what is emotional dysregulation? What is dysregulation? So emotional dysregulation is when you feel like, it's almost like you feel like the fire detectors are very, very sensitive and every little thing can set them off very easily. So it's feeling very heightened with your senses, it's feeling very activated in your nervous system, it's feeling very triggered by small and big things. It's all of those little things that kind of set you off to where you're feeling multiple emotions and multiple feelings and lots of different things, and you don't really have control over your responses and your reactions to certain situations and certain feelings. A list of words that were brought up yesterday as we were talking about feeling dysregulated were sensitive, overwhelmed, fragile, on edge, anxious, irritable, a ticking time bomb, sad, angry, and unworthy. So it's when you're feeling all of these heightened emotions, all of these heightened triggers, all of these heightened senses, and you feel like you don't really have control. So maybe you don't know what you're feeling. Maybe you just feel overwhelmed and stressed, but you can't pinpoint what it is that you're feeling. Maybe you feel very irritable. Maybe you feel very angry. Maybe you feel like every little thing is just getting on your nerves, right? All of these are different feelings and symptoms of feeling or being emotionally dysregulated. Emotional dysregulation can be brought on by many different things. It could be that everything is just piling up and you haven't been taking care of yourself, and all of a sudden you feel like, oh my gosh, everything is not going well, right? Everything is going horribly. Everything is shit. Everything is just bad. Being emotionally dysregulated can also happen more frequently if you are neurodivergent in any way. So if you have anxiety, if you have depression, if you have ADHD, if you have PTSD, if you are a highly sensitive person, all of these different things can cause more emotional dysregulation because it's not just a emotional and thinking thing. It's a brain chemical and nervous system thing. And so when you struggle with neurodivergence in any way, there are things in your body that are actually off. And so that can cause emotional dysregulation a lot more quickly. I think a lot of times when we feel emotionally dysregulated, we feel kind of shitty and unworthy, because we feel like we're not doing a good enough job. We feel like we shouldn't be feeling this way. We feel like we should be able to keep it together. We feel like the emotions that we're feeling are not good, or we're not supposed to be feeling them. And so a lot of shame and guilt can come on when we feel these different emotionally dysregulated times in our lives, because we're kind of putting this pressure on ourselves that we're not allowed to feel this way. And so I want to remind you that being emotionally dysregulated does not mean that there's anything wrong with you. It does not mean that you're doing something wrong. It does not mean that you're bad. It does not mean that you're not strong enough. It does not mean that you're unworthy. It just means that your nervous system is highly activated, and there is a reason for that. And when we talk about moving from dysregulated to regulated, that's when the awareness piece comes in, so that you can start to figure out what causes and what triggers those thoughts and those patterns and those heightened senses that throw you into the dysregulation kind of spiral or slope downward. So that you can start to bring in practices for emotional regulation before you end up completely in a dysregulated space. So that is kind of the overview of emotional dysregulation. And again, I want to remind you, there is nothing wrong with you if you are in this state. We all end up in these states at certain times in our lives. And a lot of times, if we can figure out what causes it, it makes a lot of sense. I think sometimes just knowing why we're feeling the way that we're feeling makes a big difference. And it can take away some of that shame because like it makes sense that you're feeling the way that you're feeling, right? So then what does emotionally regulated mean? If that's emotionally dysregulated, what does being emotionally regulated mean? So a lot of times I think that we kind of correlate feeling peaceful and calm and happy to emotional regulation, right? Kind of the opposite of dysregulated. We feel like we're peaceful, we're calm, we're happy, everything's going well, but that's not quite the case. Emotional regulation is not necessarily about feeling like everything is going smoothly and feeling like you are just so happy and at peace. You can still be feeling a lot of different emotions while you're emotionally regulated. However, it's not that the emotions are kind of controlling you like they are when you're emotionally dysregulated. So whereas you feel out of control and kind of like you can't control reactions or responses to emotions when you're dysregulated, when you're regulated, you can still be feeling all of the different emotions, but you have a little bit more of a control around your reactions and your responses to one, the emotions, but then also to the situations and the circumstances that are maybe causing you to feel these certain emotions. So it doesn't mean that you're not feeling emotions. It just means that you are able to better cope and manage and respond to the emotions. So some of the words that came up with feeling regulated were prepared, peaceful, calm, happy, content, having clarity, feeling worthy, having an understanding of self and others, being patient, and feeling strong. So rather than feeling these sensitive, fragile, overwhelmed, anxious feelings, even if you still have the same emotions, you feel more calm, more clear, more peaceful, more content, more understanding, more patient. You're not reacting and snapping and feeling mad and feeling irritable and feeling like everything's going wrong. You're not beating yourself up for the emotions like you would in dysregulation, but you can control those responses. You can manage the emotions. You can have an understanding and give yourself that compassion for what you're feeling when you're in a regulated state. Does that make sense? So when you're dysregulated, you're feeling all of the emotions, but everything is heightened and you can't really control responses. When you're regulated, you're still feeling the emotions, but you are able to more cope and manage the responses, and you don't feel like every little thing is setting you off. excuse me. So these are kind of the breakdowns, right, of dysregulation and regulation. And it can be really hard to move from a state of dysregulation to a state of regulation. And I want to talk a little bit about how we do that. So how do we actually move from a state of dysregulation to a state of regulation? There are a lot of different practices and a lot of different things that work for different people. And I'm going to throw out a bunch of different ideas, and I want you to try some different things and see what works for you. Because what works for me might not work for you. What works for you might not work for me. And so it's really about learning the tools and the resources and the practices that are helpful for you and practicing them even when you're not in a state of dysregulation, even when you don't need them, like really, really need them, practicing them then so that you learn the ones that help you, you learn the ones that your body and mind respond well to, and you have practice to better be able to put them into practice when you actually need them, right? So like if you're in a state of chaos and panic and feeling overwhelmed, you're not quite as likely to just try something new and feel like it's helpful, right? Like one, you might not even try it because you don't have the bandwidth for trying to learn something new. Or two, you might try it and feel like it didn't do anything for you because you haven't practiced it and you're in such a state of dysregulation. So practicing these things beforehand so that you know how to do them and so that your body already has a little bit of an idea of how to respond to these things can be helpful. So something that we talked about last night is when you're in a state of dysregulation, allowing yourself the space to feel and rest and reflect and take that time for yourself, take that time to process the emotions, take that time to be in your feelings, but then having a little bit of a time limit on that, giving yourself like a day or two, or maybe it's an hour or two to feel this way. And then moving into the things that you know help you feel good. Even though you don't want to do them, having a certain time limit of, okay, after this time is up, then I'm going to do these things that I don't want to do, but that I know help me feel better and help me come back to a state of regulation. So that could look like good food, that could look like movement, that could look like breath work, that could look like cleaning up the house, all of these different things, meditation, getting outside, getting in nature, all of these different things that can help to regulate our system, right? Regulate our nervous systems. Because moving from dysregulation to regulation is really about regulating our nervous system. So some ideas for regulation for when you're in those states of dysregulation and feeling like everything is going wrong. What are some things that you can do that will bring you from a state of dysregulation to regulation? One of my favorite things for this is breathing. So breath work is a huge tool for calming the nervous system. There are a few different ones that I really like. Box breathing is where you inhale, hold, exhale, hold, all for the same amount of time. So if you draw a box and think about it, you'd be tracing each side of the box as you inhale for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, and that completes the box, right? And then you would do it again. Inhale for 4, hold for 4, exhale for 4, hold for 4. Box breathing is a beautiful practice and just brings you back to your breath. One of my other favorite practices is 4-4-8 breathing. So this is a little different. You inhale for 4. You hold for 4, and then you exhale for 8, and then you don't hold at the end, but you immediately go back into your inhale for 4, hold for 4, exhale for 8. This one is really good if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling like shaky and your muscles are tense, if you're feeling like your heart is racing. The longer exhales helps to really calm and regulate that nervous system. Another really important practice for moving into regulation is naming your emotions. So I think that a lot of times we kind of push everything down inside and we don't name how we're feeling, and especially when we're in a state of dysregulation, we can maybe be feeling a lot of different things at one time, but we don't actually know what it is that we're feeling, right? Like it's everything is overwhelming, everything is stressful, everything is irritating, but what is it that I'm actually feeling that's causing these feelings and responses and reactions? One of my favorite tools for naming your emotions is the feelings wheel. You can Google feelings wheel and you will have many, many options come up. If you want the one that I use with my clients, email me and I will send it to you. But the feelings wheel is a beautiful practice for figuring out what it is that you're feeling. And then once you figure out what you're feeling, once you name it, once you put an identity to it, sometimes it's helpful just to have a name. And then sometimes it's helpful to trace back and try to figure out what caused that emotion, what triggered that emotion, what is bringing up that emotion inside of you. And then the other really important step to this is to tell someone how you're feeling and not to keep it inside. It is so easy to stuff all of the emotions inside. It's so easy to feel like we don't have someone that we can tell how we're feeling. But getting it out of your body, physically verbalizing it and telling it to someone else and kind of not giving it to them to hold and carry for themselves, but giving it to someone else can be really helpful. If you feel like you don't have someone, this could be a therapist, a parent, a friend, whatever that looks like for you. If you feel like you don't have someone, journaling and writing it out and getting it out of your body can also be helpful. So naming the emotion, figuring out what it is that you're feeling, tracing it back, figuring out where it's coming from, and then telling someone and not keeping it stuffed down inside. Okay, so we went through breathing and we went through naming. I have a lot of different ones, but the other thing that I want to talk with you about today is somatic movement. So what is somatic movement? Somatic movement is movement that's focused on how you're feeling in your body rather than completing a certain movement or a certain workout or a certain rep count, a certain weight, a certain amount of time, etc. So it's anything that feels good in your body. This can look like dancing, can look like stretching, look like walking, running, lifting weights, boxing, anything that gets you moving, but that makes you feel strong and powerful in your body. This is going to look different for everyone, right? Because everyone has different things that make them feel empowered and different things that make them feel strong and confident and sexy and all of those different things. There are a couple of movements, specific movements that are very somatic, very healing to your body, and very focused on moving emotion out of your body. So a lot of times when we're in this dysregulated state, our body is holding on to and feeling different emotions that have been stuck in our bodies for a long time. So maybe it's something that you felt growing up and then like a situation triggered that feeling, but you're feeling it more intensely because of your past experience with this emotion and how your body is holding on to it. So a couple of different movements that are really good for releasing emotion and healing your body are shaking and spiraling. So shaking is a really, really good release. And you can literally just shake all of the different body parts in your body, your arms, your hands, your legs, your feet, your head, kind of like jumping around and shaking it off. Or you can do this through dance or through yoga, where you're holding different poses and finding a static shake in those poses. And then the spiraling, so it's circular motions help to release that stucky motion as well. So if that's hip circles, if that's circling through your core, if that's circling through your rib cage or your heart, all of those different movements are really, really powerful for moving that stuck emotion out of your body. And then last but not least, I want to remind you that sometimes it's just about slowing down. Sometimes it's about creating some space for yourself to, one, practice these different things, two, be aware of how you're feeling, and then three, calm down the senses, right? We live in a very busy, chaotic, forward-focused, productive society and culture, and it can be hard to slow down. It can be hard to not have noise coming at you from a thousand different directions. It can be hard to have nice smells and a calm space and a clean space. But all of these little things that help to calm the nervous system and calm the senses are so helpful when you're in a state of dysregulation. So maybe that looks like cleaning so that your house is organized and clean and you don't feel like everything is in disarray. Or maybe it's about putting away the TV and the social media and the text messages and the phone and putting away all of that outside noise and information and people. Maybe it's closing your eyes or going into a dark room and doing a meditation or doing a breath work and calming the sight and the hearing senses, right? Maybe it's putting in noise-canceling headphones. Whatever that looks like for you, again, these are things to practice and learn what feels best and what is most helpful for you. And slowing down and remembering that you're worthy of feeling good and that you're worthy of taking care of yourself and that you don't have to live in a state of dysregulation, that you are allowed to make the changes and do the things that help you live in a more peaceful and calm and accepting state. So I hope that this was helpful today. I would love to hear if any of these stuck out to you. As you practice and go throughout your week, use these different tools. And if any of them help you the most, or if you have other ones that I didn't mention that you really love and that are really helpful for you, please reach out. Please share them with me. And remember to slow down and make space and create a little bit of peace for yourself today. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your Tuesday or whatever day it is that you're listening to this on. Thank you for being here, and I will see you next time. Bye. Health, My Friend is produced by myself, Abby Mallard. Thank you for being here. Please rate, review, and follow the show on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and review, especially if you really like this podcast and find it helpful. If not, it's totally okay.